Dad was stood there with Christmas lights at the end of his bed in the Christmas jumpers, saying, "Will you take a picture?" I said, "We haven't lost the plot." We wanted to do something to make people laugh, and that's what we did. So you can come up to that challenge, I'm sure. Right, I'm just going to get my little bag of tricks out. Just going to pray. Thank you, God, that you are our God, that you are real, and that you mean everything to us. Amen. I want to thank you for praying for me. I would ask that you continue to pray. I could do with my energy levels back. I haven't got them back yet. This is my first time in church for 6 weeks. It's lovely to see you. Absolutely lovely. I want to talk to you about hearing God. And I've been asking God about hearing God. And when I've been doing a little bit of sorting out at home some paperwork. And I'd found this box that I knew was there, but I didn't know what was in it. And I thought, I'm going to sort this box out. When he opened the box, one of the pieces of paper that was in it was a word that I'd written, and it said, "Hearing God." And I thought, it's really good when God confirms that he's still talking to me about the same thing. And, you know, life in our modern world crowds out the voice of God so much that it's difficult to hear. One of the things about not being well is you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. And you have to sit and be still. And boy, can that be very frustrating for somebody who's always doing. But it gives you a chance to sit, be still, and listen and hear God. I won't change anything. Because in these times we learn a lot. And our inner space can be filled with so many things, all legitimate. But do you know it's our decision to listen? It's my decision to listen. It's my decision to listen to you when you talk. It's my decision to listen to God. It's my decision to sit still. The second slide, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't think you can completely run your own life. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Do you need healing this morning? Do you need strength in your bones? Some of the bones ache, don't they? You never think when you're 20 you're going to have bones that ache, do you? As you get older, you've got bones that ache. Do you have a conversation with yourself? Because I do. Where have I been? And where am I going? I don't mean which bus stop am I going to stand up. I mean, where am I going? What am I going to be doing? And as human beings, we really put things in boxes. We put the small things in boxes in our heads. And we put the big things in boxes in our head. God wants you to know this morning that nothing is too big for him. And sometimes we forget that God is in the detail all the time. Sometimes we find ourselves running towards God in panic. Because we're human, we do. But God doesn't differentiate between the big, massive things and the small things. Joyce Meyer said this: everything is small to God. Everything is small to God. And we categorise things, don't we? We categorise things when there's the big C word. We categorise things when things are happening to our children or our family. But our God is that big that everything is small to him. Everything. Don't forget that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 14. So I'm talking about scriptures this morning that you know. But there are some people in the room this morning, you know, that you've been going on. I say this every time I get up. When I prepare something, I have to prepare it for people who are at the beginning of the journey. those that are very experienced in Christian terms, for those that are in the middle. So you've got to kind of prepare everything for so people get different things out of it. So Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me," I love this word, wholeheartedly, everything you've got. "If you look for me with everything you've got, you'll find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes, and will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I'll bring you home to your own land." I've been studying John for, well, probably most of the 6 weeks I've been in John. I'm still not finished yet. I read a bit, I think a bit, then I read a bit more, then I ask questions, then I read a bit more, and then I think a bit. And so it takes me a while. So a lot of my scriptures today are out of the Gospel of John. And if you've not read it for a while, I'd really encourage you. And the reason I'd encourage you is there's so much in it about what Jesus was doing on the earth. For those of us that have got a Bible, every time Jesus speaks and it's in red, Jesus spoke a lot in John. There's a lot of red sections in Jed. Jed likes red sections in his Bible. So John 16, verse 12 to 15 says, I've not put a slide up for this because I want you to listen to it. "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and this is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." A lot in John is about Jesus going in order for the Holy Spirit to come, for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal truth. We know that Jesus couldn't stay here because his effect would have only been on those people around him. And we know that our Christianity is great on a one-to-one, but the Holy Spirit can be with everyone at the same time. The Holy Spirit can reveal truth to you one day, to me one day, all at the same time. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. So it's, you know, Jesus did have to go. And when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in slide 4, he says these lovely words, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate, a helper, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive it because it isn't looking for him or doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me," this is Jesus speaking, "but you will see me since I live and you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you'll know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." In our journey, God reveals himself to us all the time. And we never stop learning. We never stop learning about God. He's revealing himself to us all the time. And verse 24 said, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." As I have been studying the Gospel of John, it talks all the time about intimate guidance, listening to God through his Holy Spirit. We see and understand everything we have. You know, on that guidance, what's absolutely brilliant about it, it's different for you, it's different for you, it's different for you, it's different for you, because you've got a different path, and it's brilliant that. This, for slide 5, the picture of the shepherd. John 10. So I've done this picture because this gives the context of the shepherd. Because we always think of shepherds and gates and all that sort of thing. It'll come back in a minute. But the shepherd, do you see at the bottom here? So those that are listening on the audio, there are your walls, your three walls, and at the end there's a gate. But there isn't a gate like we know it. The shepherd used to sit in the gate, okay? So nothing could go in or out without literally stepping over the shepherd. It couldn't get in there, okay? But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper owns the gate for him, and the shepherd recognizes his voice and comes to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know him. You see, we always think of sheep being in a field and that farmer owning that field and all the sheep that are there, they're his. But in the day and age when this was written, sheep were put in sort of sheepfolds like that, and you'd have a number of shepherds who would put the sheep in that particular enclosure, so that when the shepherd stood there at the gate, or when the shepherd wanted his own sheep, he used to call them, and they would come out. So it's a bit different sort of how we understand it. This is a true story. In World War I, soldiers tried to steal the farmer's sheep. The farmer woke up when he heard the commotion, when he realised that his sheep were being taken away. He called his sheep, they left the soldiers and they ran back to the farmer. That's a true story, that. The soldiers couldn't stop them. The sheep won't follow the voice of a stranger. Jesus is the shepherd and we are his sheep. The shepherd has a personal connection with each of his sheep. We learned from Linda a few weeks ago that the shepherdess that we bumped into on our mini break, that she were missing a sheep. Now, when we looked at her sheep, I'm not being funny, but they all look the same. We looked at the sheep, and she said, one's missing. And I was thinking, I don't know how you know one's missing. But once she'd asked us, as we'd seen this sheep, she jumped into a quad bike, and off she went, and she found it. I watch a lot of these programmes on Yorkshire Farms. I love watching the Yorkshire Farm family of 9 children. I like watching Matt Baker, how he's looked after his mum and dad with the Yorkshire Farm. And it's obvious when you watch what goes on that the shepherd knows the sheep. They watch them being born. The tups, I learnt new words watching these programmes. The tups, the pregnant ewes, are looked after. And when they're really looked after, they produce not only one lamb, but two. You know, and when they're stuck giving birth, they're there to pull them out. It's quite amazing to watch these animals be born. Each time, there's a connection there with the shepherd. And at every point in our lives that we have a connection with the shepherd, I'm talking about our relationship with God, I'm talking about our relationship with our Lord, it's a continual turning point in our lives and it shapes us. The shepherd leads and guides so that the lambs know where to go. When the shepherd goes out on the moor, they call the sheep and they know his voice. That woman who's got the 9 children, boy, can she shout. You watch her on that documentary hollering for them sheep. She's not quiet. She wants to make sure that they've heard her voice. Shepherds would sometimes put all the sheep sometimes in the pen, so they needed to hear the individual shepherd. So what things are important? Hearing is important. Responding to the shepherd when he's leading us, when he's showing us new things, when he's teaching us things, being open to be taught. Because the shepherd knows you. I said already that he's individual. And to hear God, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the great thing about the Holy Spirit, and I've said this before, it's not that we are not dominated. When we listen to God and when we ask God about things, it's very gentle. In my life, it's always been very gentle. It's never dominated. Things are not always what they seem in life, but God promises that we will hear his voice. When we trust him and ask him and we listen to him, we get the best benefits. Get good pasture, get good grass. You get the freedom to go in and out. You get a freedom of a daily life with some surplus. More than what you need, but that overflows for others. Do you know there's an abundance for every emergency to overcome? You see, we get things in life, and you've heard me say this before, they're a surprise to us, but they're never a surprise to God. And sometimes we treat God as if he doesn't know what's going on, and that he's a stranger to our circumstances, and that's our humanity. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that's what we're naturally like. But what I'm going to say is quite radical. Some of our prayers are wasted because we ask God to be with us. He's with you. We bring God into our circumstances, and that's the right thing to do. We don't have to ask God to be with us because he is. He knows the detail over your own life. Sometimes we ask God for what we already have. So what I want you to do next time you pray and you've got circumstances in your life, just think, do I need to ask God this first before I pray it? Because you might not, because it's already promised to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't put your energy into that. If you need healing, ask him for healing. He says sometimes we don't get things because we don't ask. Well, ask him. I'm not talking about those things. But sometimes as Christians, we ask for things that God has already given us. When we ask for direction, we need to ask for God's peace to make the right decisions. Mark's talked quite a bit about peace this morning. It's quite hard to make decisions. It's quite hard for people to make decisions about what treatment they should have when they're ill. It's quite hard for people to make decisions about what they should do next. And that's where we need to go for God, go to God for direction. And then we need to ask God, that once we've made our decision, that we have peace about what we've made. Because that's what he's promised us. He will supply all our needs. A good, blessed life brings glory to God. All sheep are different. When I watch these programs, what's obvious to me is some are stubborn, some are very compliant. They're all different. All animals are different. And I learned this last year. You put slide 6 up, Jed. So I hope they're quite, you'll get them up in a minute. So the next slide is a picture of two dogs. The one on the left is the old dog. The one on the right is the new puppy. This one was 14, and this one was 10 weeks old. I very naively thought, if I get a dog that looks like the old dog, if I get a lurcher like the old lurcher, that I will end up with two lurchers that are the same. How foolish was I? How foolish was I? Oh, dear. They are so different. So on this picture, unfortunately, this was taken a few hours before I had to have this one put down. He got kidney failure. And this little one arrived 2 weeks before. And I thought, oh, they'll have ages together. And the old dog can teach the young dog how wrong I was. So, same dog, same breed, same animal. It was very different. See, the old dog came to me at 6 months old and was battered. So my job was to give that job security. Son and I trained him, give him security and enable for him to trust people because he didn't trust anyone. And we taught him obedience because he'd never been out, never been trained, never been out, wasn't clean, wasn't anything. And he wasn't curious like puppies are. He wasn't looking for adventure. He wasn't looking for anything other than love. And then this new one here arrived, who is very happy, into everything, very curious, loves everybody, loves people, loves everything. It's totally, totally different. What a shock. So, in our house, you'll know you have lots of knitwear. You've got hats, you've got shoes, you've got all sorts of things. So I'll just give you an example of one of Alfie's escapades. And his best hat, his most favoured hat, that is for really going out walking and lined beautifully and knitted beautifully, ended up in bits. I had to sew it all up. And I'm just using that as an example, just to let you know that all things are different, that we're all different. It's important to know that we are being led. And the reasons for that is, when we're led, when someone's looking after us, when someone's got our best interest at heart, which our God has, we have our confidence. And we can step out into the unknown, because it's not easy and we do make mistakes. And for those of you that have been on this journey a long time, there's three Psalms that I would like you to read, and you can listen to this again on the audio. Psalm 37, Psalm 23 and Psalm 24. And that talks about God being with us all the time and that we will never fail. And then Psalm 46 verse 10 is what I started with. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and listen. Pray. You know, a really good prayer is, Lord, help me. I pray that quite a lot. Lord, help me. Not in a desperate, you know, it's like, Lord, will you help me with this? Lord, will you help me with that? And I go into detail. Because he is with me, but I haven't got all the answers. Everything that God wants to do is for our good. Our Christianity is practical. So this week I'd like you to try an exercise. You put slide 7 on, please, Jed. Slide 7 says, ask God, who does he want you to encourage, bless, or visit this week? Ask him. And once you've asked him, you can put it to one side, go on with your business for the week, and God will show you what you've got to do. He'll put someone, you'll get maybe a picture of someone in your head, or you'll have a thought about going visiting somebody. And that will lead to, you might go and buy a gift. You might be sat with them in conversation. You might be listening to them. They might tell you something, and they might ask you your opinion. You might be able to share something from God's word. Our previous minister used to say, Jim, if you do the same, you get the same. Make this week different. At the wedding of Cana, Jesus was there with his family, and it's his first miracle where he turns the water into wine. And the mother of Jesus said, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. So some of you will be thinking, well, how do I hear God create the environment? Physically, mentally, and internally. And I'll break that up for you. So, attitude. Ask God to speak to you and then be ready to listen. So it's not this attitude of, well, I can do everything myself. You know, it's not this bossy attitude. I can do things my own way. Have an attitude where you're ready to listen and do. Expect something to happen. To be led by the Holy Spirit in everything. This isn't for someone else, it's for you. And listen, we must learn to listen. I'm always interrupting people, and it's a habit I've got worse at, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm finding as I get older, I can't remember. If I wait to the end of the conversation, I can't remember what I need to say to them. You know, so that, and because of that, sometimes I interrupt people, because I get this thought and suddenly think, if I don't say that now, I won't remember at the end. So, read something from Scripture, a daily reading, a psalm. We've talked about this before, a proverb. Talk to any one of us as leaders. Be open about what you want to read or what you need to read. There's somebody I'm going to ask who's quite well read, and I'm going to ask them. I'm in a book at the moment, and I'm halfway through it. But I want this somebody who comes to this church, and they read a lot, and I'm going to ask them, of all the stuff you've got, what's the best thing you've read, and will you lend it me? and you'll get it back. Can I just say that? Because you don't get them back either. And so I want to ask you a question now. This is to test those that have nodded off. Raise your hand if you listen to the weather forecast. There's a few of you. Okay. And why do you do that? Tell me why. Why do you listen to the weather forecast? To prepare. To prepare for what? Right, do I need an umbrella? Do I need a Mac? What else? Habit. Yeah, what else? Why else do you listen to the weather? Because it comes at the end of the news. That's a good one. Right, so somebody's just said, there's people on the tape, on the audio, tape, we don't have tapes, do we? On the audio, whether I take my dog somewhere at the end of the week or go out somewhere or not. Some people have to plan the work around the weather, those that work outside. My lad fits lightning conductors, so he's always watching the weather. He's always watching the weather and the wind. Okay. So that's a natural thing. And what I'm trying to do is there, just think, sometimes, you know, that's a natural thing that you do, listening. Well, you know, this is what you've got to do with God. It's as simple as listening to the weather forecast of God, what do I need to be doing? Do I put me washing out? That's one of mine. Do I put me washing out? Some of us plan our work lives around the weather, and those people that work outside do. And I know it's a simple comparison, listening with our natural ears. And that's the kind of comparison I'm trying to make for you. But gaining as much knowledge and then applying it, being sensitive with our spiritual ears. When we live in Christ, we are in Him, and our decision making comes from Him. And we ask others for wisdom, that's a good thing, but listening to God is the most important. Listening and obedience go hand in hand. Some time ago, I went to Dunelm. I was looking for a knife set. Don't worry, I wasn't getting ready to commit the perfect murder. So I went online. This was my knife set. It was 50% off. So instead of being £45, which I wouldn't have paid, I have to say, it was £22.50. And I think that was pretty good value for my grey kitchen, can I just add? And it was one night had gone and it was dark and I was tired and I went in and I got a few other bits for the house when we first had our house done. Got a few bits for the house. I got home and as I was driving home, I was thinking, that was cheap, that boy, that was a good sale. The next day I realised that when I checked the receipt, they weren't on. They weren't there. And straight away I thought, I know what I need to do. I told one of my friends at work, and you know, we had this conversation. Dunelm can afford it. Do you know what I mean? That's what my friend was saying. I said, "Oh, I think I need to go back." And my friend said, "Dunelm can afford it." And I was thinking, "Yeah, Dunelm can afford it. Yeah, 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 yeah." And I thought, "No, I've got to do the right thing." And do you know how long it took me to do the right thing? 3 weeks. It took me 3 weeks to do the right thing. I had this conversation with myself. No, 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 no. It's a mistake. Yeah, I know, but you know. And then I had this other, no, I have to do the right thing. So I phoned the store manager, told him what had happened, and he said to me, "You're doing what? You're coming back to pay?" I went, "Yeah, I'm coming back to pay. What do I do? Do I have to bring the Do you have to bring them with me? Do I just tell you where it was? Or what do I do? And he said, "No, bring them in and take them to the customer thing." "But you're coming back to pay." And I went, "Yeah, coming back to pay. I can't. Not only was I felt inside I had to come back and pay. Every time I walked in my kitchen, they were there looking at me. I thought, no, I've got to do the right thing. Straight away. But it did take me 3 weeks. listening and obedience go hand in hand. I want to just say a little phrase to you. Pray and obey. Those two things together. Pray and obey. If you love me, obey my commandments. That's what John 14 says. So to summarise, God wants to guide each one of us. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, because he always went to God for what he needed. I know he made mistakes, David, but he always went to God for what he needed. So this week, this is your task. Ask God, what do you want me to do? Listen for the answer and then act on it. Don't do nothing because you'll get the same. Bless you.
Am I on? Yes, I am. Thank you, Sue. That was great, wasn't it? I'm glad she's taking the knives with her. Take your knives with you. Jesus always used to say, if you've got ears to hear, listen. I went for a hearing test a few weeks ago, and the lady who was doing it, they call an audiologist, said, what are you doing here? I said, my wife sent me. She thinks I'm deaf. So I had my hearing test. Is this familiar to everybody?
Yes.
I had my hearing test, and she said, you've got better hearing now than you had 7 years ago. You're not listening, are you? No. And we know, don't we? Because Sue's talked about the things that we know about God, and we know he's a communicating God. We know he speaks to us. But we've not only got to hear, we've got to listen. And the exercise isn't just about hearing, because we hear God every time we read the Bible, we hear God, because he's talking to us. It's about listening, it's about what God is saying to you. So just have a different perspective about how you're reading. This is God talking to me, what am I hearing? Or like Sue said, the exercise to listen to God. Who can I bless this week? Who can I encourage? Who can I minister to this week? And listen. And listen. And learning to listen to God is really important as we journey with him, because he starts with small things and sometimes he ends up telling us big things that he wants us to do. But he always talks, the New Testament talks about being faithful in the small things, because if we can't hear him going, just say hello to somebody, until we get that, he can't move us on, he can't ask us to do bigger things. So listen, not like me, who just hears. Got incredible hearing, but I don't listen very well. We don't want to do that with God. So thank you, Sue, for reminding us of that this morning. And if you've got a great story, if God speaks to you, come and tell us. Because it's good to encourage other people by just the simple thing of God asking you to do something. So do that. Well, that's the end of our service this week. Let's just pray as we finish off the offering.